Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Okay, Book of James. Book of James, chapter 1. You're all comfortable. Why don't you stand with me? We didn't have scripture reading this morning. And let me read just five verses, maybe a few more. We'll pray, and then you can be seated. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We'll just stop right there. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word. I'm going to do my best to preach it now, and God, sometimes my attempts are real feeble. So we pray that the Holy Spirit would take over, even right now. You would arrest our attention. And you would draw our eyes to Christ in all of our trouble and all of our darkness. May our gaze, may our look be upon thee. Lord Jesus, would you help that one that may be here this morning or listening to the radio and they're not born again? We pray for their salvation. That's what they need most of all. God, may they hear and understand that you're the only Savior. God the Son, Jesus Christ. And call upon you, repenting of their sin. Call upon you and receive the gift of eternal life. And Lord, may their salvation take place this very day. God, for many in the family of God that are hurting this morning, some that aren't hurting today, but they will be this week. God, would you prepare us? Take the word of God and make us stronger. May we grow in grace. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So my son-in-law, who happens not to be here this morning, he's down preaching at First Baptist Church of Onaway, representing Canaanland Bible Camp down there, and he calls me. We talked about it ahead of time. He called me, I believe it was from Lock City. Am I right, Steve? Give Lock City some advertisement here on the radio. And he said, hey, listen, I found that weed whacker that we ought to go half and half on. He said, there's a cheaper one and there's a more expensive one. He said, I think we ought to go ahead and get the more expensive one because you've done that cheap route before, knowing me. I said, yes, I have. In fact, I got a couple of weed whackers hanging in my garage. Junk, right? And I said, well, what would my half be of the more expensive one? He said, well, it's on sale right now and your half would be $80. I said, oh, okay, well, that doesn't sound too bad. And so you want me to do it? Yeah, go ahead and do it. Then we're at an open house. I believe it was Friday night. Steve Woodgate comes up to me and says, before Greg is there, I don't think it was in his, no, it wasn't in his presence. He said, hey, I saw your son-in-law buying a weed whacker. He said it was for the both of you. I said, yeah, you got a pretty good deal. He said, I guess so, man. They were on sale for $75. Now, I haven't had a chance to really investigate this yet, but one of those two men are lying. And I am going to find out which of the two it is. Now, it could be that Steve, he's not above pulling my chain. He's done that before. So I don't know, but believe you me, I'm going to get to the bottom of this real quick. As we go through life, there's ups and there's downs. There's good times and there's bad times. Hey, you need to know this morning. We've been praying for revival, this statewide revival. Hey, the devil's attacking. Both fists. Both fists. I told people on Wednesday night, this is a fact on Wednesday. Some have come through their valley already, and a couple more have gone into it since then. And always in a church our size, there's a couple of people in the valley. I can only imagine what it's like down there at First Baptist. You know, there's always a couple of people, and what they're experiencing is a total crisis, even though it may not be compared to the other guy. But for them, it's real, and it's a crisis, and they're right in the middle of it right now. And it just so happened on Wednesday, you know, I counted them, 7 families, all unrelated, all completely different levels, different things, different events. 7 families in absolute crisis. And it's all confidential. And I would like to have said to this one, you know, you think this is bad right now, but this is nothing compared to what our brother over here is going through. You know, but you can't do that. And because when you're in it, you're up to here and you're big, and it's big, you know, and you're going down for the third time. That's what the book of James is about, especially the beginning of the book of James. I love James. It is a Christian workbook. It is the oldest book in the New Testament, written, of course, under inspiration by God the Holy Spirit. James is the pastor at Jerusalem, the great church of Jerusalem. James is the half-brother of none other than Jesus Christ. And so there's a little bit of background there. And it's the earliest book of the New Testament. And it just so happens he deals with trouble. He deals with difficulties. And I'm thinking to myself, as even I'm reading it and preparing for this message, how apropos for the day and age in which we live. Because we all think when we come to our valley, that it's the biggest valley of all. Now, I've got great hope for you this morning. I want to bring you comfort and bread from the Word of God. I want to throw you a life ring this morning by way of the Scriptures that will help you. And truly, I want to help you. And understand this before we get into it. Everybody's having trouble. Everybody has difficulties. None of us are immune from that. That's why James addresses it. Here is this pastor of the church at Jerusalem. I can only imagine the kind of problems that he was dealing with. He says, James, verse 1. That's Greek, by the way, for Jacob. Just kind of throw that out to you. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Interesting that this is one of the New Testament letters, not written to a specific New Testament church. This is after the scattering of the Jew, the scattering of the Christians there in Jerusalem, and the great persecution that took place early in the New Testament church. And so they took with them the gospel everywhere, and churches were planted all over the empire, all over the known world at that time. And here's a book that is very practical and is written to all of us. All of us. We're born again. We belong to Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. We're a member of a New Testament local church. Here's something very practical for all of us here this morning. And I'll say this before I get into the word trouble and trial and temptation. Were it not for today's trial, you would have no testimony tomorrow. Today's trial, today's test is tomorrow's testimony if you'll just keep your eyes on God. Were it not for trouble, we would not know how good God is. Were it not for impossible situations in our lives, we would not know how big God is, how powerful He is. So please, if you think you're going under for the third time, whatever your situation, man, grab hold of the hand of Jesus. You know, He is there for you. Don't wallow in it. Don't go under for the fourth time. Don't suck in all that water. Don't drown. God has provided a way for you to escape. God is preparing us for greatness. I want to say this before I preach this. I believe there are many great young people in the world today. We got great young people in this church. But people make poor decisions. Old people make poor decisions from time to time. You testify to that, right? Yeah. Probably made some sometime in the recent past, and myself as well. So it isn't getting down. It isn't kicking the millennials in the teeth. But it is trying to help them, like the generation before us helped us. We've got to remember that. But let's not turn into that soft snowflake mentality where, you know, we're going to melt. God give us grizzled veterans in the battle for God's cause, for Christ's cause. You say, how do you get to that point where you're actually a grizzled, toothless veteran? How does that happen? You got scars and you wear them proudly, and you go on into the battle and you run right into the face of the fire. How is it that happens? That's what James chapter 1 and verses 1 through 12 is all about. Look what it says here in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy when you face all kinds, diverse, manifold, all kinds, not just one flavor, all different levels, all different kinds of temptations, of testings, of trials, of tribulations. Thank God for it. Verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It's a wonderful thing to be tested. It's a wonderful thing to be strengthened. I'm thinking of all kinds of passages of Scripture that we probably should go to. Let's go to one of them. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I think it's verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. I hope. There it is, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, the tough time, the test, the tribulation, the difficulty, the trouble, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trying of our faith, the fires that we go through, the difficulties, the trouble, it's more precious to God than gold. Our faith is purified when it goes through those times of testing. How many got trouble? Raise your hand. You got trouble. Raise it. Man, we all have it. It's a fringe benefit of being part of a broken race in a broken world. We're children of Adam. Our leaders are children of Adam. Everybody has messed up. Everybody's making mistakes. And you take Christ out of the equation or Bible preaching out of the equation, it's even worse. Man, that is bad. And that's why, of course, we need to run to God. There's a reason for trouble. 1 Peter chapter 2, would you turn there, please? You're already there. And look at verses 19 through 22. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. We are called to have fellowship, words from the book of Philippians, with the sufferings of Christ. He uses the word called here. I got born again. I got adopted into the family of God. Life isn't going to be a bed of roses from here on out. As a matter of fact, I've enlisted in a fight. I've enlisted in the battle. Now it's going to be difficult. And it's really easy when it's a frontal attack. We've all had that. And you just kind of, with the shield of faith, you just kind of bounce the attack off. But the devil comes to us in weak times as well. And comes to us where we're the most frail. He knows exactly what he's doing. But listen, there's a reason for trouble. Go back to James again. Book of James. Trouble brings about maturity, which will bring about reward. I don't have a real good outline, but that would be a good outline this morning. Trouble, testings, difficulties, trials brings about that trouble. It comes from all different levels. And Brother Eddie, we talked about this morning. I mentioned how you said you didn't need a mic because you're going to stay right with the mic, you stay with the pulpit. And you told me the reason for that is you're afraid to get away from your notes and you'll forget what you're preaching. And I said, boy, I do the same thing. And now I'm way over here and I don't know where I'm going right now. No, I do. I do. I know where I'm going. All right. Trouble develops patience. Patience, it's never good. It's never fun, but it's always good. Trouble, tests, difficulties, broken hearts, it develops patience, and patience brings about maturity. It makes us strong. You know where the veterans come from? They're men and women that are in the battle. They should have some medals. They do in heaven. Veterans come about from people that are already in the fight, and they're still wearing the uniform. And it's difficult. Many times it's difficult. And read what it says here again in verse 2 and 3 and 4. I want to read it all together. My brethren, count it all joy. It's a good thing when you fall into diverse, manifold, many temptations. And it always comes in waves. I don't know if you know that or not. Man, it does. I don't have just one trouble. I'll go along for 2 or 3 days and everything is fine. I'm thinking, uh-oh. Something's going to happen. You know, it's going to come. And it isn't going to just be one. It's going to come in. It comes in waves. It's amazing how that works. Funerals are the same way. You do one funeral, you do 5 funerals. It just seems like that's the way it works. I haven't had a funeral lately. Word to the wise, right? But troubles, it comes that way. It comes in waves. Diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, maturing work, completing work, that ye may be perfect or mature or complete and entire, wanting nothing. We're fulfilled. See, why the trouble? Why doesn't God just make it so that we never have trouble? Because we're still in this world. And we're part of the church of Jesus Christ, which has not been perfected yet. And we all need to, like it tells us in Peter, grow in grace. So I don't understand, Pastor, why this difficulty now? Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the very first chapter. If you will get a hold of this, it is going to help you. I promise you. I got a hold of this many years ago. And I come to understand this to be true over and over again. Remember what I said? Today's trial is tomorrow's testimony. Today's test is tomorrow's testimony if I'll just keep my eyes on God. God will not fail us. God will not let us down. No matter how impossible the situation is that you are in, were it not for impossible circumstances, we would never know how big God is. And no man is an island. Nobody lives unto himself. Nobody dies unto himself. I'm not here. You got to get this. This is part of being part of the church. I'm not here for me. I'm here for ministry. The same applies to you. You're not here for yourself. You're here for ministry. So you're going to boot camp. You never get out of boot camp, by the way, because we're still that fallen people. And we have these trials, difficulties, tragedies, death, unexpected circumstances, financial collapse, broken hearts. Man, what good can come from this? Look what it says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. I'm glad for that. And the God of all comfort. Don't run from God. When you get in a battle, when everybody's kicking you, don't run from God. Don't run from the things of God. I've seen people do that too much. Too much. Get bigger than that. He says, he's the God, the Father of mercies. I want mercy. He's the God of all comfort. I want comfort. Who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The reason I have these difficulties and I have this test over here is so that God will show me his love. God will show me his sufficiency. God will show me and I'll experience his mercies and his warm arms of comfort. And when that brother goes through, and maybe I lose a child, and they lose a child, I can actually go to them, put my arm around them, and say, I know what you're feeling. I too lost a child. I know your heartbreak. I know it's bigger than words. And I also know this, God is enough. Jesus will bring you through. And see, you've got some credibility. You have trouble in your past that a lot of this generation knows nothing about. You can help them. You can help them. You don't need to bring up all the sin of your past, but you can tell them, I've been there. You don't know it, but I'm a trophy of grace. I've been there, and let me help you. There are young families right now in desperate situation. Be there for them. How many good families here at Fundamental Baptist Church over the years, you don't need to raise your hand, have had family trouble. Say amen. That's pretty weak. Some of you are a little afraid to say that, aren't you? How many have ever had an argument with their wife? Say amen. Amen. All right, it happens, all right? So the truth is, we're all made of the same stuff. We got to be there for one another. I'm not chewing anybody. I just want to help people. I just want you to know there's an answer. His name is Jesus. There's a reason for the trouble that you're going through, and it's bigger than your present situation, I promise you. Anybody can shout when they're on the mountaintop. Anybody. When you're in the valley and you can shout, that's a spiritual person. That's a person that is walking with God in spite of the difficulties. Reason for trouble. There's a way through trouble. Look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, that we use that verse and we quote that verse because it's about wisdom. In the context of the scripture, it's about wisdom concerning trouble. Wisdom concerning trials. Because sometimes you don't know what to do. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just be faithful and just wait on God. Cry out to God in your hour of test. Ask God for wisdom. Forget about your human reasoning. That's probably got you into a few bad situations. I know you can say amen to that. Especially if you're that kind of personality, you like to have control of things. And so you manipulate, you get ahead of God, and you've messed up a few times. And you cried out to God, and God was there for you. Well, how about crying out to God before you mess up again, all right? Ask God for wisdom. He'll help you. And he gives us some great hope here, and it's something that maybe you have not ever read in context. Because sometimes we quote Bible verses and we don't quote them completely in the context. Let me read verses 6 and 7 and 8 and maybe 9. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Be faithful. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed, just kind of going with the flow. That's wrong. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, verses 9 and 10, I think, are interesting. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he passeth away. God knows what we need. That's why the trouble comes. The brother of low degree, the nobodies, they're going to be encouraged. They're going to be lifted up through this trouble. Those that are proud and pompous, they're going to be brought down low. God knows exactly. We cry out to God. Here comes the tests. Here comes the trouble. Here comes the difficulties. God, I need you, and it's going to build me. It's going to make me strong. It's going to build my faith. So God, I need wisdom. I got to know what to do right now. God, I need you to direct me. I need help from the Word of God. I need your direction. And then God's going to work it all out. And the proud will be brought low, and the humble will be exalted. Those that are in need, their needs will be met. Tremendous promise. Verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. This trouble is for everyone. I love reading biographies, autobiographies of great preachers. I used to spend all my extra time. I'm not somebody that reads novels. I don't need that kind of drama in my life. You know, and that's what those novels are about. They're just drama. Man, I don't need that. I got the real thing going on all the time. I don't need that. If you walk in my shoes, you will experience more drama than daytime TV. I'm telling you, it's everywhere because everybody's got problems, you know. But I read biographies and auto, but they're encouraging, especially when I read that great men of God had trouble. and there's no exception. The trouble, the testing, the difficulties, it's for everybody. I read that Dr. George Truett, great Bible preacher. What changed his ministry, his heart was broken because on a hunting trip, he shot his best friend and killed him. He went from a mediocre preacher to a mighty preacher, all in that time of life. Charles Spurgeon, voted out of the Baptist Union in his day. Now, he was taking some strong stands against some of the shenanigans that they were involved in, but when they voted him out, it still broke his heart. He still bled. One time when he was preaching at the Surrey Music Hall with thousands in attendance, some joker yelled fire, and several people were trampled to death trying to get out of that building. He had trouble. He knew what tests were all about. Charles Finney, his mentor, Dr. Dale, said in print that he was ashamed of Charles Finney. It hurt him. It helped to make him a great preacher. We've all gone through difficulties, some tragedies. I pray that God would spare you from tragedy. That's not anything I wish on anybody. I know what it is to be brokenhearted. I know what it is to be disappointed. But what I want you to know this morning is there's a way out. His name is Jesus. Now you got to put on your big boy pants. Climb down from the high chair and allow God to lead you. and direct you. He will strengthen you. He will make you what you need to be. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. I'm almost done. This is the last verse. Endureth temptation. Endureth, to persist, to press on, to push through. Don't be denied. Don't quit. Blessed, happy is the man that endureth temptation. You can only do that with Christ, by the way. He doesn't mean grit your teeth. That's not what he's saying. He's saying stay faithful to God. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I would say this morning, for whoever's going to go through trial this week, this month, next month, maybe isn't your turn yet, maybe the month of July, get your eyes off people, get your eyes on the Lord, walk with God, grow in grace, let him strengthen you. Do things God's way. This is God's church, the New Testament local church. Honor God. Be faithful. And I know there are people here thinking I'm preaching right at you this morning. I'm not. You're not alone. I'm just telling you, I've never forgotten this. My father-in-law, Roger Fountain, sheep farmer, Debbie will attest to this. Time and again, I've used this in different places, different sermons. They had hundreds of sheep. And sheep need a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd are just prey for the evil one. They're going to get away from the flock. They're going to wander. They're not going to know they're wandering. They're going to get out of sight of the flock, and they'll start baying and wanting help, and they'll have no idea where they are. It's like they have no compass within them. When Jesus said we're sheep of his flock, you knew exactly. I know we are the dumbest creatures on earth sometimes. And here's what would happen. A wolf came out of the woods over there on 48 towards Stalwart out there. This happened on several occasions where a wolf come out of the woods and he is moving towards the flock a couple of 40s away. Roger sees it, runs into the house to get a rifle. The wolf is going to the sheep. You know, among that flock on the sheep, there was always one or two sheep. And you know where they would go? Hey, I wonder what that guy's doing over there. And they'd walk right towards him. Right towards him. Going right to the wolf. And the wolf's thinking, boy, this is good. This is dinner to go. This is good. And we do that in the family of God. The wolf attacks. The evil one attacks. He tries to do us wrong. And instead of turning to God, instead of running to God, instead of getting closer to God, we run right to the evil. We do what the evil one wants us to do. Don't do that. Don't do that. The trying of our faith worketh patience. Patience will have her perfect work. And we'll become mature, complete, perfect, wanting nothing. I got to grow. I got to keep growing. And I want to keep growing. Trouble, maturity, completeness, reward, crown of life. God, that trouble's good. It's not fun, but it's good. Build us on what we need to be. Keep our eyes on you, and there'll be a reward. It'll be worth it.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.